Well, let's open our Bibles this morning. I'm going to just spend a few minutes here teaching on this. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. So if you just go to Hebrews and back up, you'll hit it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And look at verse 12. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. I mean, you know, there's a fight. Fight of faith. How many like to fight? If you don't like to fight, I'm talking about you're not just ornery and like to fight. I mean, how many like to fight for things that are meaningful? You just lay down, or I'm talking about things that matter. How many like to fight? If you're just complacent, I'm going to say it like this, you're a wuss. Because if you've got nothing that matters and you don't fight for it, something wrong with you. If you're married, you fight for each other. Your husband, your wife. If you got children, you fight for them. If you got an area that you live in, you fight for that. You don't just let people walk in on your street and things without fighting. You know what I mean? That's like down south. You know, you go to Arizona and you go to Texas. It's legal to carry an unconcealed weapon. So you better think twice about pulling a gun because you may have 50 people pulling a gun on you. You know what I'm talking about. So there are things that you fight for, and there's a good fight of faith. So if you don't like to fight for things that matter, you're never going to win anything. You've got to want to fight for things that matter. And here in this case, God talks to us about the fight of faith. He said, he didn't say, think about fighting the good fight of faith. He said, fight. So that means fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let me read this in the Amplified. It says, fight the good fight of faith in the conflict with evil. That's where we fight. See what it says? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, as in Ephesians, against spiritual darkness. That's who we're fighting against. And that's what this says, evil. We're in a conflict with evil. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. So when we fight, this is a different kind of fight. We're going to fight a fight of faith. So this isn't a natural fight. This is a spiritual fight. We're going to fight a fight of faith. That's what's going to please God. Faith, you can't please God without faith. And so faith is going to be what we fight this fight with. And so that means we're not moved by what we see, is it? Faith walks by, it says it doesn't walk by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. So when we see things that don't look like they're going a good way, what do we know that's behind that? We know that there's evil influence behind it. Well, how do we get rid of it? We're going to walk by faith. We're going to use the name of Jesus. We're protected with the blood of Jesus. We've got a blood covenant with Almighty God. We're protected by the blood, sealed by the blood of God. So we can go in areas as led by the Lord and be protected. Think about this. I heard somebody say this. They said the devil is defeated. That means he ain't got no feet. And he's disarmed. He ain't got no arms. He's disarmed and defeated, kind of making fun of it. But He's defeated and disarmed. Now he's got power, but he don't have the kind of power that we have. We're the body of Christ. We have the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus at our disposal, and he's got to bow. And we should not tolerate things that are going on in our respective areas, whether in your home. I'm thinking about this now. I had a family member, my sister, and her husband was just acting like a fool and crazy, and she had enough of it. She loved her husband, and she told him in the natural, if you don't change, I'm leaving. And she just took the name of Jesus and walked through that house, prayed in the spirit, anointed the walls in the house, and said, Satan, get out of this house in the name of Jesus. I command you to, in Jesus' name. And she did that, prayed in the spirit, and commanded the devil out of her house and stopped blinding the mind of her husband. And within weeks, he got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, got saved, stopped doing the stuff he's doing. And I'm telling you, change. Now, he was struggling with some stuff, and so he went to get some professional help, and he did, but didn't take long. He got some professional help and some spiritual help. And he'd been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and loves God and has been for a number of years. But if she hadn't taken a stand, it wouldn't have changed. And you could have wrung your hands and cried and fussed and complained and God don't love me and he's not hearing me and all of that. He's given you the name of Jesus. He's given you dominion and authority in this earth over the devil. And he's looking to you to change it. Just like when it talks about our nation. So this fight that we have is a good fight of faith. But it also, this is another translation. It's the Phillips translation. It says, fight the worthwhile battle of faith. I like that. Fight the worthwhile battle of faith. Keep your grip on that eternal life to which you have been called and to which you boldly professed your loyalty before many witnesses. We're to be loyal to the faith. We're to be loyal to God with what? Our profession of faith. And so that means when we run up against some resistance, you just start speaking out. You say, no, you can't have this territory. You can't have my house. You can't have this block. You can't have this city. I command you to get out of here in the name of Jesus. I come against every demon force that's been entrenched in this city. Get out in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, you just need to get tired of being tired in an area and stop tolerating stuff. And say, well, we don't see enough spiritual movement here. Get your mouth in motion. Start speaking up. You do it with your kids. You get tired enough of your little kids at home acting the fool, and you just say, enough. Right? Don't you? You just speak up and say, enough. Stop that. Just stop it. And you say it with an attitude, and they get the message. I know I did that when I was growing up. When I heard a certain tone, I knew I'd gone a little too far. You know what I'm talking about. You say, stop that. And you go, yeah, I went too far. Or if I saw something, you know, or your name was said in a certain way, you knew, okay, I just went a little too far. So there was some attitude with that word that was spoken to you. And it's the same thing. We need to have a little bit of an attitude where the word of God is concerned. How does that come about? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. So that's how you get your mind and your attitude changed about certain things. Because when you get this inside your heart, you're going to hate things just like God hated them. He don't like seeing the stuff that's going on. But if you're not filling your heart with this, then you're not going to have God's perspective on things. You're not going to have his heart. When he's upset, you're going to get, if you get this word down in you, you're going to be upset about stuff going on. You're going to say, I'm not tolerating this anymore. No. We're coming against it. You don't like seeing things going on? Get together and change it with your words, your confession, and united prayer. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, there's a fight, and we're going to change it. Never let the devil have the last word. Never let him have the last word. Let God's word be the last word. Amen. Jesus, you say that Jesus is having the last word in my life. He's going to have the last word in my life. He's going to have the last word in my family. He's going to have the last word in my health. We respect doctors. You know, this past week, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, they've been spending a lot of time in prayer, just seeking God for direction on this last Winter Bible Seminar. And there was such an urgency to pray, an urgency to collectively get everybody to pray. Those that are coming in, and of course, they're from other nations, but as they said, this prayer will work in the nation you're in. You have authority in that nation you come from, whatever nation that is. You don't like, so that, like she said, it may not be up for elections in your country, but when it comes, you pray, you intercede for your country and the leadership, and it'll change that country. It's like they were showing, let me digress a second, we're going to do this. I've been sensing this for 3 years, about 3 years. I met this man. It's interesting. He's 49. He and his wife. He said they got married when they were 18, real young. They came to Bible school at Rhema, and then they did some things. But now they're over all of the French speaking. They work with another gentleman that has their schools in Paris and Nice. But he oversees the schools in Quebec and Montreal and also Haiti. And I just have this sense, it's a knowing, that's all I can say, is that we are going to have some meetings, not bilingual, but I want him to come in and do all French meetings. But I want him to come in and teach and share to the French-speaking nations represented, and we're going to do that. I've been talking to him for about 3 years, and I just sensed, I told him, I said, Ken, I just sense it's the right time. We're going to do this. We're going to start putting this in motion and doing something. I know we'll probably most likely do it in Nanuet to start, but we are going to hold some meetings, not bilingual. It's going to be all in French. And so I just have a heart for that. And also for the Spanish-speaking nations, we're going to do something. And anyways, but with that, this profession, what we were talking about was having dominion over the areas you're in. And he just, you know, took back, he was talking about the country of Haiti, and he was saying in the area they're in Carrefour, they started the training school a year ago. Their first class had almost 300 in that class, 300 students, and all of these students were either pastors or senior pastors or bishops in their respective churches, all 300. And he said the testimonies, they're now going to other French-speaking countries in Africa. They're moving out. They're going out. They're effectively in Haiti. He said one gentleman has gone up in northern part of Haiti, and they're going into some, you know, very remote areas, and he said just that the what's going on, he said, we are going to change that country. And so when you get, that's what I was really saying, when you get this word down in your heart, you will hate the things that God hates. You will have the wisdom to know what to do. And so we're going to fight this good fight of faith, but here's the question. How do we fight this fight of faith? Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when you talk about when I have the faith to fight, this joy that I'm going to get is from the Word of God. And this joy is going to give me the strength to fight. And so just some other scriptures, you know, when you think about this, the you can go through and look through the Old Testament, and you can look at some examples, but just in the natural side, what happened when fighters get in the ring? What do they try to do? They try to intimidate people, right? That's just from the natural side. But I can tell you one thing, the devil will do that. He will try to intimidate you with what? Fear. And so joy, when we operate in joy, it's going to come from a place of faith. And joy, when you're operating in joy, you can't be in fear. I'll tell you one thing, when God said put the singers out in front of the fighters, you better have some joy. Because you could see here, he put the choir out in front of the army, and they went out singing praises to God, and it caused the anointing of God to come and manifest it in that setting, and caused those other armies to get into disarray. So sometimes it's easy for us to grasp the negative where things are concerned. It's easy for us to talk about all the negative stuff going on, but we need to walk from a place of faith and look at it like God looks at it. This spirit of faith that we have says, oh, no, we're not going down, we're going over. We're not losing. We come from a place of victory. Think about that, that we're not trying to win. We've already won in Christ. So we're already in a place of victory, not a place of defeat. So the devil's the one that's defeated. He's trying to tell you, you're the one that's going to go down. You know, when you think about this, think about just a simple example. If you went somewhere and somebody was in a wheelchair, had no arms or legs, and said they're going to whoop you, and just was running their mouth saying they're going to whoop you, you'd probably look at them and go, what? Are you kidding me? You just laugh. You would probably not be rude, but you'd go, something wrong with that person. They're going to whoop me. They're in the wheelchair. They got no arms or legs, and they're going to whoop me? I got all my faculties. Something wrong. You'd laugh. Well, think about it. When you get a perspective of who you are in Christ, when you grasp who you are, not just about who you are, but it's no longer you that liveth, but it's Christ who lives in you. And he did what? He took the keys of hell and death back from the devil. He's got no, his power has been what? Stripped. He has been defeated. So it's like that armless, footless person that's going to whoop you. How can they whoop you? They've been defeated. It's not you. It's Christ in you. So when that person wants to come up and rail on you, or you see some things that are going on in your life that don't look so good, you rise up. You tell them, Mr. Devil, I just want to tell you, you're defeated. I like Pastor Hagin. He was sharing this story about how his young daughter, when she was born, something happened. And he said He woke up in the middle of the night, and he said, "Now I'm not telling you to do this," but he said, "I got up." He said, "I had my." He's funny. He said, "I had my sleeping shorts on. I just got up out of my bed, and I said, 'Mr. Devil, get out of.'" And he said, "I kicked him all the way down the hallway." And he said, "I kicked him down the hallway, and I got to the front door, and I opened the door, and I kicked him out the door, and I kept kicking, and I kicked him all the way to the drain on the street, and I said, 'Get down that drain and get out of this house.'" And he said, "When I got back in the house," he said, "my daughter was fine. She was healed. But I had to kick him out of the house." So that's the thing. What are you tired of? Just kick him out. And I think sometimes we tolerate things just too much with stuff. You know what I mean? Just have enough. Amen. Glory to God. Let me share this. This is something that Smith Wigglesworth said. You may say, that sounds like a strange name. We'll look him up. He was an early contemporary, very early back in the 1900s. He said this: if the enemy, he's talking about Satan, if he can move us from a place of faith, he can get us outside of the plan of God for our lives. If he can move us from a place of faith, he can move us outside of the plan of God for our life. And so those kind of things here, he said here, the reason there is an attack upon your faith is because if the enemy, Satan, can move you from a place of faith, he can move you outside of the plan of God for your life. That means God has a plan for our lives, and in that plan, he was designed that we must live by faith and we must fight the good fight of faith. The last day of Friday, Ken Taylor, he's the person over the school in Haiti. He said, "I was down in Haiti and I had the other gentleman come over from France. We were down doing some things with the Bible Training Center, and he said, we had some fish. And he said, he must have heard God better than me because I ate this fish and it had something in it. I forget the term he used. It was some kind of something, bacteria, something that was in. And he thought, well, I'd be safe with this fish, but he said he contracted something. So he said, I went to the doctor, and he said in French, he told him, goodbye, you know. That's it for you, right? That's what they told him. In French, they told him, goodbye. That's it for you. And he said, but I got the word of God. And he said, gone. Symptoms gone. So he said, you better know the word of God. When you go into some of these countries, you better know the word of God. Get that down in your heart. And he said, don't tolerate things. Stand up to the devil's tactics. I was sharing before, when the Hagans were praying, they have this strong sense and urge that we need to pray for our country. They said the attacks that started to come against their ministry leading up to this last Bible seminar was, they said, unprecedented. Some of their teachers, their own son, ended up in the hospital with just extreme serious symptoms. And so he finally got out. He was teaching one day, and he's come. We invited him to come, and he said he's been having some challenges since the end of December. He'll be coming with us sometime this year. But that, some of the teachers were taken to the hospital, just the attacks on their ministry from a physical realm, from other things, and they had to just stand against it, come against it and say, no, you can't have my body, you can't have this ministry, you can't have this. See, when you start making some inroads into areas that are going to wreck and pull down the devil's territory, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a fight. You're going to have a fight on your hands. But we win. See, See, if nothing's going on, if there's no disruption, if there's no fighting, then the question becomes, are we just complacent? Or are we shaking some things? Are we disrupting the devil's territory? Because he's not going to give it up easy. He's gotten a grip on people's lives. When you think about when you start taking a territory, I mean, every one of these individuals that got up, another couple, they're over in Lusaka. I met one of his associates last year. It was first time in the United States. And so, you know, we just chat back and forth on Facebook. But the pastors that oversee that area, he said they've been over there ministering since 2004. The fight that they have against in the government, no, not wanting them to be there, trying to get them removed from the country. And he said, just, you heard it in almost every single one of them, some in Nigeria, same thing. They want them kicked out. There's a fight going on right now in China. Strong fight. The guy that was with us last year, Reverend Gary Crowell, they prayed for him because there's a strong push by that current prime minister to remove every missionary out of that country. There's a fight going on, spiritual fight. And so one of the things that we prayed for during that this past week was that the bamboo curtain must come down. It must come down. There's a grip. And Gary Crowell was sharing here, he said to us that he's been in Singapore, he's been in some of the Asian countries, he's been in China, he's been there 10 years, he's been in Haiti. He said, I can tell you, he said, the spiritual oppression and the strength, the power of that is greater than I've ever experienced in any country I've ever been. He said, the power of that blindness and strength in China is nothing like I ever experienced. And he said, the devil's not going to give it up that easy. So we're going to have a fight, and that fight is going to be in faith. Here's another thing. This was something that Abraham Lincoln shared. And right in the middle of the Civil War, this is I thought was a poignant saying. It said, the fight of today is not altogether for today, but for a bright future. So the fight for today is not just for today, but it's for a bright future. That means the fight that we have today is for generations. It's for people, for your family. So it's not just a fight, it's for your children's future. It's for the future. Like when we say we're fighting for this country, it's for the future of this country. So Abraham Lincoln saw that. He said, the fight of today is not altogether for today, but it's for a bright future. So it has to do with your destiny. It has to do with your future. So this fight is for your destiny and your future, whether it's you personally or your family. So it's a costly fight, it's a difficult fight, but we win. Hallelujah. So it's for the next decade, you could say. It's for the future. This fight, and see, the devil will blind you into things and think he'll get your head down and look and thinking it's just this little skirmish. But then you see down here, like God sees, and you see this whole country being affected, but he gets you tied up in this little skirmish here. That's not the real fight. The fight is for all of that. That's what he wants. See? And he got you tied up fighting with some little skirmish over here. That's not the real fight. He just got you distracted on that fight. See, but there's a bigger fight. So we're going to fight. Don't fight the way the devil wants you to fight. We're going to fight by faith. And how is that? I believe God. Hallelujah. Here's another another, just jump over here for a second and look at this. This is Acts 27. This is Paul. Ultimately, they left. They launched out into which he said, this is not going to be a good trip. But you can see here, this was around a 14-day journey in a storm. And Paul said in verse 10, he said, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of the also of our lives. And it said in verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more, what? More than those things which were spoken by Paul. Sometimes we experience that, don't we? We share some things and they say, yeah, but I don't believe that. I believe that, right? More than what you share, right? But thank God, God still didn't let go here, did he? Verse 19, so in the third day of this storm, it said they started to kind of unload everything, didn't they? And what happened? Verse 25, can you imagine? They're all probably not feeling too good here for their lives and everything else. And what does Paul say? Paul says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. That probably got some reaction, didn't it? Cheer up. I'm going to give you a cheer up. It says here, for I believe God, right? I believe God that it shall what? Be even as it was told me. Right. So he said, I believe God, and it's going to be just as he told me. So you'd like to think that that was the end of it, but they had about another 11 days of a pretty nasty storm, right? So they still had some things to go through. So sometimes when somebody shares some things, there may still be more of a storm to go through. But you're going to go through by faith. You're going to go through by faith doing what? Believing God just as he said so. And that's what I'm talking about. If God has spoken some things to you, you continue to believe God just as he said, not what you see. If he said to you, your family's going to serve God, and it looks like everybody but you was serving God, you just say, God, you told me such and such and such and such, I believe you. And you kick the devil out of your house, right? You may walk through some storms, but you got God on your side. Hallelujah. And that's what happened. What happened? He said, what did he say here in verse 33? He said, this day, the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing. So he said, here, eat. Pray, take some meat, for this is for your health. So they hadn't eaten. They're weak. He says, take something to eat. And then, of course, that ship came apart. But think about what happened. When that ship broke up and they ended up on that island, they had a revival ended up out of that. So God had a plan, didn't he? To reach people. And sometimes that's what we have. You're in the middle of a storm and you're focused on that. But there was this island over here God wanted to reach. And it's the same thing. We've got areas and territories in here. And sometimes if he can get you focused on your little skirmish at home, God's trying to work. He wants to work through you. And you might be the catalyst for it. And the devil wants to just get you all wired up and focused on that. But yet God has maybe spoken to you about doing something. And he wants to get you all focused on that. Amen. Glory to God. So think about that. That God, let's go go to James. We'll close with this. James chapter 1. A familiar scripture, James chapter 1 and verse 2, says, my brethren, do what? Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith does what? Worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, if there's one thing that I desire is to get faith and the spirit of faith in our hearts such that nothing that you face in life will rattle you. And you won't be blinded by it. In other words, you won't be drawn into it. But you'll see like God sees from this faith that you have to say, no, I'm not getting involved in that. There's a devil behind this. And I command you to take your hands off of it. Whether it's your family, whether it's your environment that you live in. There are, you know, I say it this way. There's a lot of things in this natural realm that look like they have substance to it. You know what I mean? Like you go, well, yeah, right. You know? And you look at it and go, well, yeah, these people are being put down and this over here in politics and this over here in race. I mean, it looks like this has some legitimacy to it. And what happens is it's not that it doesn't have legitimacy, but he's trying to draw the church into it and not use the power of the name of Jesus to change it. He wants us to be doing this, womp, 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 talking and complaining and all of this. It's not that it shouldn't change. It's how we go about the change. You understand my point? It's not that these things don't need to be changed, but when the church doesn't come together, it's fragmented. And there's no power. And that's why when the church comes together and pulls down the strongholds that are influencing it, then we'll see change, but it's how we went about the change. See, if we don't come together as the church and pray, then think about it. You can complain all you want, but guess what? There are people in authority that make laws. And if you don't get the spiritual influence that blinds their minds, they'll make laws that won't be too good for you. So you can fight. So where does that leave you? Then what are you going to do? You're going to just go out in the streets and holler and yell and protest and do stuff? That's not what God's telling us to do. He's telling us you're going to fight this fight. It's going to be a fight of faith. The one that's influencing it, that's the dude that we need to go after. Because when we do, and we get this grip broken, you will start to see the loosening in the natural realm. And all of the things that make life what it is will begin to change. And the devil wants to get the church just off fragmented and not come together and pray together. I mean, that's just the truth. And I'm not saying we shouldn't get together with others, but I'm gonna tell you right now. What does it say? The effectual, fervent, heartfelt prayer of the righteous. There's much power in it. And if we come together and start, we could just be one to start it, but we can start believing that others will come together, hook up, join with us. And pray. And the things that we desire to see change will be changed. It's how we go about it. He said, fight the good fight of faith. And that fight is going to be a fight of faith, motivated by the Word of God, motivated by love. right? If it's faith, then it's got to be motivated by love. Well, I can tell you right now, some of the stuff you see going on, it ain't motivated by love. It's motivated by fear and hate. And we think, well, we're going to get stuff changed because we're just going to, you know, we've got this, you know, hatred behind it, hatred for the government, hatred for politicians, so we're going to fight everybody. That ain't love. And it's got to be motivated by love so that we operate in faith. And faith will say, God is bigger than this. God is motivating me with the love of God to see change, but you've got to see the people, the precious fruit of this earth, as the motive behind it. Because that's what God died for. He died for everyone. That's what he desires to see come in. See, so this isn't just about, you know, my little self, me and everybody else and my group. No, no, no. This is about the precious fruit of the earth. And the devil hates it. He hates anything that God has died for. He hates mankind. He wants to destroy mankind. And he will get the church bickering about it rather than come together and say, no, we're going to break this so that we can reach people of every nation, of every culture. And I'm telling you, when you hear some of these missionaries and some of them where they go, and they have now they have thriving big works, the thing, what's going on now, which is just tremendous, is that you see that people have gone from the United States of a different culture, don't speak the language, not familiar. I'm thinking about this guy. He went home to be with the Lord. He was a truck driver, country bumpkin, worked on a farm, backward, went to Raymond, went down to Brazil, didn't know the language, didn't know the culture, didn't know the people, and they've got a movement going down there. I'm talking about a movement almost bigger than Raymond in the States, from a country bumpkin. But what they've done is now they've raised up the people in their nation, and they're taking it and running with it. They've come and just stepped back. The nationals, the people have got a hold of that and said, no, we're going to change our nation. Now it's not us just bringing it in. They've got it. See, so this is about people. And as you've heard from, I hear it over and over, people everywhere are the same. They don't like what's going on in their country. They're hurting. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And somebody's got to bring a message of hope, a message of faith, a message of healing, a message of deliverance. And when they do, and the people get a hold of it, then they start changing. They start going into the highways and byways of their own nation and start changing it. And that's what the devil hates. You don't want to see that. And whether it's another country or it's this city, it's about the people in this city. And you don't have to be, if God uses you and if you're the same culture and language, wonderful. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So how are we going to fight this fight, a good fight of faith? We're going to fight it by faith, and we're going to lay hold on eternal life, and we're going to profess a good confession. We're going to confess God's word. We're going to confess his heart, his word, and that's how we're going to lay hold on this. Praise God. I'm excited about it. We're going to change New York State and Pennsylvania because we live here. We're going to change it in this region. It's going to change. The devil can't have this area. He can't have the people. He can't have the stuff that's going on. He can't have it. he can't have it. And he can't have New York either. Can't have it. No terrorists, no terror. He's got to go. Does it say, submit yourself therefore to God? Well, what that tells me is you submit to God, you submit to the word. And it says you resist the devil and he will flee. So we're going to stand up and resist him in faith, in with the power of God, and he will flee this area. He's going to flee. Hallelujah. Do you agree? Hallelujah.